with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Next year's Congress will have a record number of women, and Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook says advocates are pushing for more progress.
They are celebrating the fact that a record number of women will be in Congress next year. And also, we found that women have donated more to federal candidates this year. A lot of progress on that front. But women are still very underrepresented. They're nowhere near parity in the halls of Congress.
We'll have the details, but first, here are some other top stories we're following. E-cigarette startup Juul is signing off social media as it faces pressure from U.S. regulators over a rise in underage use of e-cigarettes. The company says it's shutting down its U.S. Facebook and Instagram accounts and reducing use of other social media. Juul's also stopping sales of most of its flavored nicotine liquids in retail stores. Rising domestic supply and ongoing trade disputes are putting pressure on Tyson Foods. The company says it expects pressure on meat prices to continue in the coming year and has reduced its 2019 sales forecast by $1 billion. The Agriculture Department estimates U.S. production of poultry and red meat will rise a combined 2.4% this year. Is the decline in the number of public companies bad for the economy? That question was part of a discussion between Wall Street Journal editor-at-large Gerard Baker and New York Stock Exchange Chief Operating Officer Stacey Cunningham at the Journal's Tech D Live conference.
Our concern is that we're creating a market structure that is really good for large investors and large companies, and less good for small to mid-size investors and small to mid-size companies. The number of public companies indeed has fallen by half, but the total market cap of the public market is three times what it was. So that means the average company is six times bigger than it was before.
Cunningham says the trend is leading to a bifurcation of wealth. For more from the conference, head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. Starbucks is trimming its ranks. The company says it's laying off about 5% of its global corporate workforce, some 350 employees. The move comes as the chain is struggling to bring in new and repeat customers in a more crowded marketplace. Still to come, how advocates are working to get more women elected to office. Congress will have a record number of women next year, but advocates say they want even more and are working to sustain the momentum from the midterms. Joining us now from Washington with the details is Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook. Let's take stock of where we stand after the midterms. More than 100 women will be in the House of Representatives next year. At the same time, that's still less than a quarter of the entire House. I imagine for advocates, it's somewhat bittersweet.
You know, I wouldn't say bittersweet because I don't think there's anybody sad about these results. I think the people who were trying to get more women into politics are thrilled that so many got elected. It really is, though, a measure of how much more work there is to do, that this cannot be sort of a one-shot deal where women, you know, get all excited about this one election and then stand down. Because there was some question about whether we saw this huge influx of women running for political office up and down the ballot, mostly as a result of just a reaction to Donald Trump being elected president. Most of these women running were running as Democrats, many of them kind of galvanized into political activism for the first time in their lives because of their reaction to Trump. But I think there are all kinds of signs that this isn't just a, you know, post-Trump reaction. I think that a lot more infrastructure has been built to support and recruit women into politics. So that I think that people are kind of glad that the number of women have been elected, but they see that there's a lot more to be done.
And to take a look at some other progress here, we're also seeing a Congress that's more ethnically and racially diverse. We now have the House's first two Native American women and the House's first two Muslim women.
Yeah, and I do think that actually the new women coming to the House are sort of a big part of what they're bringing is diversity. Like, I think there's sort of an outsized proportion of the new women are people of color. More than one third of the 34 new Democratic women are people of color. As you say, there's Native Americans, Muslims. And just even in terms of what their backgrounds are, a lot of them are not the traditional up from the state legislature kind of conventional political career trajectory. So they bring a diversity of background. If you just look at the five new Black women, They include a nurse, a teacher, a mother with no political experience. There is a city councilwoman and a state legislator, but just the idea that people come to Congress from different walks of lives, they're not all lawyers, you know?
And Janet, also beyond Congress, looking at the number of female governors, we've seen some progress there as well.
Progress, but actually I think that's kind of the highest ceiling for women. They've had a harder time getting into governor's positions. They're now going to be 9. There had been 6. So it's kind of a big percentage increase, but still 9 out of 50 isn't very much.
What are you hearing from advocates about how they're hoping to sustain the momentum, move forward after a pretty good year to get even more women elected to office?
Well, I think some of them are seeing like carryover momentum from the campaign already underway. There have been some new organizations and some established organizations who are working on recruiting and supporting women candidates. Emily's List is probably the best known national group. They support and endorse and help finance campaigns of women who are supporters of abortion rights. And one thing that Emily's List did sort of with an eye to building a deeper bench of women candidates is that they tripled the size of their staff that was dedicated to state legislative races rather than federal races. Because for many women, it's a good training for running for Congress to actually run for a state legislature. I mean, the state legislatures benefit from having more gender balance as well. So I think that was kind of very foresighted of Emily's List to do that, because it's not that means that you're kind of developing generations of women candidates, not just the people who are right now ready to go to Congress.
And what about the challenges that lie ahead?
Well, you know, first of all, as we see from the numbers, they're nowhere near parity in Congress or in the House, the Senate, or governors. So, and women, we found that actually there was a record-breaking amount of money donated by women to federal candidates, but women are still, they don't raise as much money as men, they don't donate as much money as men, so that they're still, money is often still an obstacle, and kind of conventional power structures, you know, party chairmen are still mostly men. I mean, there's still plenty of obstacles remaining.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook joining us from Washington. Thanks so much, Janet.
You're welcome.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.